So, folks, I have the pleasure of introducing a guest to you this morning. And to give you just a brief background on why we are doing this today in our fellowship nationally and really internationally, our fellowship has determined that they want to expand their reach into global missions. And so they've started an initiative called 100 Points of Light. The idea is launching 100 new global workers and missions workers. And so they've encouraged us at this time when a lot of our global workers will be in the country for the general conference in Victoria on the other side of the country in a few weeks, that we would have our global workers come and share with us what they have been doing and to continue to spread the vision of launching new missionaries, new global workers from our fellowship. And so when I received the information about that before Christmas, I had just been at district conference in fall, and I had run into Helen McMinn. And she is someone that I've known about for quite some time. I can remember being in my late teens, attending Faith Tabernacle in Halifax when I was a university student, hearing about Helen McMinn, and at that time the Potters, and they were part of our PAOC Missions family, and then coming back here to Evangel, hearing more about Helen, and I've seen the pictures, and I've heard the stories, but Kenya being as far away as it is, and Yarmouth being tucked down as far away as it is, Helen hasn't had the opportunity to be with us very often, but she is transitioning, I guess you could say semi-retired. I don't think Helen will share. I don't think Helen will ever stop doing and investing into the kingdom, but she is more available in our region now, and I thought, what a perfect opportunity when the PAOC is inviting global workers to come share, that we would have the honor of having Helen McMinn with us. And she has a friend with her, Fern, as well, who's come down from Moncton as well. So join me, Evangel Assembly, in giving a warm welcome to Helen McMinn as she comes to share a little bit about her missionary endeavors.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here in Yarmouth today. And it was lovely this yesterday as we came down. I had a guide with me. I'm not sure if we always got on the right path, but we had a good laugh in the process. And so thank you, Fern, for coming with me to this Sunday service and to this part of the country. And yes, it's a great joy for me to be with this PAOC church family. You're part of the PAOC church family across the nation, isn't it? And you're very special to me because you have supported me for my 43 years that I have served in Kenya. We thank the Lord for you. I hope you were clapping for yourselves because you have indeed been grand supporters of the missions program of the PAOC. And of course, a lot of you may have seen a few communications that I have sent out from time to time. And I have been involved in recent years in what is called transformational church leaders. I first of all called it Transformational Church Leaders Development Program, but when the academicians looked at it, and the Commission of University Education said, no, you have to have that, it has to be, so we had to change it to Transformational Church Leadership. And what's in the title? It's the work that's the important thing. What we wanted to do, what my passion and concern was, that the Lord laid on my heart after being in Kenya over 20 years, was to actually take theological education to the grassroots level, to take it to the people. And let me tell you, it's not an easy work, okay? When I first started, it took me a whole year before I registered the first two students in the program, in the first certificate program that I developed. But be that as it may, it was a vision that God had given me. Before I had done what God asked, what the mission had asked me to do, I had been involved a lot in administration in our field office in Nairobi. I had also done ministry, small group And in the church, I was involved in Bible teaching, and I was out preaching and many different things. But my heart throb, and still is transformational church leadership. Deacons, elders, and we have pastors of Bay churches that belong to these mother churches, and we have pastors from surrounding churches, and they come together, and they meet together in one center. Maybe they meet once a week, sometimes they meet twice a week, and they have the classes. There's three parts to the program. They study at home, they have a part to do at home, they get points for that. There's a part of class discussion they do with the teacher and the in-class sessions, and then they do a practicum. They have to apply what they are learning. And it's been a very, very effective. We've had normally about 2,000 students each year taking this program. We use about 10,000 of these textbooks that you see on the back alone. We also do certificate program. And recently, we have just started the BA in Transformational Church Leadership online. In fact, I taught the first class of 12 disciples. And now we have 70, nearly, it's going up to almost 100 students that we have in this program. And now we have engaged many of the lecturers of the university who are taking the classes, and I will be teaching. I'm still teaching online. And we have students in Madagascar. We have a student, in fact, right now studying from England. And we had a lady from the coast married to a pastor, African pastor. And she went to Switzerland for some business, and she was still doing her program over there. And we're getting an interest from people from all over Africa. And, you know, maybe some of you folk can join as well. But it's just phenomenal what God has been doing through this program. And so when you go back there, have a look at that. We also partner with ministries in the slum areas of the city. We help to sponsor some of the students to take these courses who are pastors in the slum. They have not much support, and so we've been able to help them. And the ladies do these kind of bags or whatever, and they sell them to sustain themselves. So that's just a little insight into the work that I have been doing, and I'm still passionately involved in it. We want to continue pushing it, and God has been using it to transform lives, and I'll be sharing more about that. I want to celebrate victories and embrace the challenge of missions today. I want us to celebrate the victories and embrace the challenge of missions today. As PAOC celebrates 100 years since its founding, we must be reminded that PAOC was founded in response to the need of the first Pentecostal missionaries. When the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place at the turn of the century, men and women felt impelled to go beyond the borders of this nation and carry the good news of the gospel to other parts of the world. In fact, they went to Africa. Some tried to go to Kenya, and they were not allowed to enter the country because they were not under any umbrella organization. And this happened in country after country until the PAOC was formed to facilitate the work of these early Pentecostal missionaries. So actually, the PAOC was born in the fire of revival, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it was also inspired by the call of missions, to do missions around the world. And it has had a tremendous impact. It has opened doors to many countries. It was established to send the light, the blessed gospel light. Remember we used to sing that song? Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. May we never lose that passion. May we never lose that flame. Because God has not changed. He is still the one who calls us to go and make disciples to the ends of the earth. I believe that the message of Matthew 9 and 27, where Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field." And there are still so many people to be reached with the gospel. According to the Joshua Project, there are 3.1 billion people who are part of people groups with little or no access to the gospel. And who is responsible? We are still responsible. I think sometimes in this country we feel like we have such a need in our own country, and yet the call is to send that light, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. God is calling us, I believe, once again. Here is the Jesus mandate. This was the Jesus mandate, rather. In Luke 19 and 10, we read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus had a mandate when he came into this world. It was to seek and save the lost. Again, we think of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's God's mandate. That's Jesus' mandate. His intention was to bring about tremendous change in people's lives. What does that change look like? That change was to be a radical change. Apostle Paul described it in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He said, "You has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." It's a resurrection from death, from spiritual death to spiritual life. A making alive, a being raised from death to life. And what is our mandate? Our mandate is no different. Jesus passed this mission on to his disciples on his departure from earth to heaven, saying that we should take it up and we should go out and make disciples of all nations. And I say all nations. Today, in some of the countries where we have been working as PAOC workers, missionaries, they are beginning to send missionaries to all nations. You'll be receiving some, I'm sure, in Canada in the days to come. But the laborers are never enough. Don't think that because somebody is coming from one of the countries where we sent missionaries, they're coming here to minister. That does not remove the obligation from you and I from going even back to those countries. The call of God, the direction of the Holy Spirit, is what is so very important. I say this tremendous increase in need. When I went to Kenya 43 years ago, there were 13 million people. Do you know what the population of Kenya is today? 46 million. So you see the tremendous number increase in the population. What is the great motive for fulfilling this mandate? I believe the first great motivation is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As we see what happened on the day of Pentecost, as we see what happened in the early days when the first missionaries left the shores of Canada and went to those far-flung places, it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus instructs his disciples, as he did, to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Do you lack a vision of the lost today? Maybe we need to go back and ask the Lord to refill us with the Holy Spirit. Because once we are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we want to do is to bear witness to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask the question, are we fulfilling this mandate? Are we, as the early disciples were said, to be turning their world upside down? I sometimes wonder if today in the church, the world is turning us upside down. And we're not accomplishing all that God would have us do. Yes, we're still bearing fruit, but we should bear more fruit and much fruit. Amen? So may the Lord give us a new vision of what he wants us to do. Has your praying and giving to date borne fruit? Oh, yes, it has. It has borne much fruit as individuals and as a church. God's methods are so varied. As Spirit-led individuals hear the voice of God and follow his leading, the gospel has spread. God has used individuals, but he has also used the church as a whole. The body corporate is unique and special way. I think of Acts chapter 13, how the whole church was praying, fasting and praying, and God said, separate me, the Holy Spirit, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I have called them. How long has it been since in this church when you're fasting and praying that the Holy Spirit has spoken, separate John, Mary, Henry to the work of the ministry? This is the business of the church, to separate those workers, to call men and women into the ministry. If it's not happening, what are we to do? We're to pray. Today in Kenya, the tremendous emphasis on prayer. They just completed 40 days of fasting and prayer in the Sitam churches. And that church, they just seem to go from one place to another. They just opened the church in another part of the city in Ambakasi. Within a few weeks, they had 1,000 people attending. I mean, they continue to grow, but they grow on their knees. They grow in the place of prayer. It is awesome. That scripture, when Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And as this is happening, they are sending out missionaries. The work is bearing much fruit. What my answer is, in individuals who want to tune into the mission of God to become active in spreading the gospel have to follow the admonition of Apostle Paul. Now, this comes to the individual. What do you do? How do you respond to this call? I think the first thing is what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he said, wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and you will prove what is that good and acceptable. And oh yeah, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the standards of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, as I have mentioned already, it is God's mandate to save the lost, and he has passed that mandate on to us. So we need to get in tune with him, tune with his vision and with his will for our lives. We so often feel we are in charge and our future, we can plan it out and so on and so forth. And especially for young people needing to seek God's will for your life. God wants to use us as instruments of transformation. I want to share with you now some of the things that I have done. I'm here to report, you know. And how God, because I gave my life, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I remember one time being in a church in Kisii in Kenya. I was in a young people's meeting. It was huge. There were thousands, I think, of young people there. And I was sitting on the platform, and I was beginning this transformational church leadership program. And I remember thinking, what am I going to share with these young people? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Share with them about surrender, giving their life to Jesus. And I was quickly reminded of the times I had come to the altar and sang that song, I Surrender All. And I raised my hands and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. And he says, this is why you are doing what you are doing. This is why I am giving you this work to do. Friends, we first of all must surrender our will, our life to the Lord Jesus. Seek his will, seek his direction for our life. And God has done great and wonderful things. When I first went to Africa, I was involved in evangelism. And I want to say that just as the scripture says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and he says, lo, I am with you always. And I can say this morning with a very strong testimony that he has been with me in Africa. He has been with me in Kenya. And I can testify to the great and wonderful things that he has done. I used to go out on weekends in evangelism. Many times we would go hut to hut with the young people that we would go. I would take young people with me. I was just young then, remember? And I would take young people with me, and we would go out, sometimes hut to hut. We'd go into the high schools also and have films and witness to the youth there and preach and so on. But sometimes I'd go hut to hut with them, and of course I needed an interpreter. But as we would go into these huts, it was so amazing sometimes, because the people would say, I had a vision last night of a white person coming to talk to me about God. And so their hearts were just open, and we would be able to talk to them and lead them in to the Lord. And it was awesome what God was doing. We saw this happen many, many times. So God was with us, and he went before us, and we saw tremendous results. It was a great harvest time. I remember how people would be healed and filled with the Spirit. We would preach. One of the leaders in the church, you say, yes, when Helen would preach at the end, everybody would be speaking in tongues. Those were days when the Holy Spirit was being outpoured in a wonderful way. And we had awesome and glorious times. People were ministered to, and people were brought into the kingdom. And today, the result of that missionary work, not only my work, but other missionaries, in Kenya, we see some of the fruit of it. In our church, in the CTAM, Christ is the Answer Ministries, we have a radio program called Hope FM. And I'm always delighted when I turn on and I hear Rhoda Kadula. Rhoda Kadula is a presenter there. And what they do is they take requests from people and they pray for them, and it's a Christian radio program, and what an awesome impact it's having. She's leading people to the Lord on the radio. So you know this thing goes on and on. We just thank the Lord for what he has allowed us to see, what he has done. I was also engaged not only in evangelism, but also in administration work. They took me into the field office there, and I worked a number of years there. I served as many capacities, business administrator and as even the field director on different occasions, and even just before I returned now. And then about in the halfway mark, the Lord led me into the leadership training. God has worked with us in difficult circumstances. I remember just trying to tell you some of the incidences of things that happened. About halfway, the Lord spoke to me, and I don't want to go into all the way the Lord has led me, but that was another story. But I want to say that the leading of the Lord is a definite and a very positive thing. There was a time when he actually convinced me that I should step out of the boat by faith and take up this work. And he said to me, when I was apprehensive and not knowing how it would go, spoke to me and said, I will take you by the hand. That's how he spoke to me while I was praying one day. He would take me by the hand, and it gave me comfort. And I went forward with that. And did I need it? I needed it. As I went to start this work, I can't go into all the details of the obstacles that I ran into, but I will say that God worked wonderfully. And as I was preparing the teacher's guides for the certificate courses, I did them in English, and I tried to get them translated into Kiswahili because we had a number of students in Kiswahili. And how God miraculously brought to me an individual who could translate very fast and very well. And so all of those things, this was nothing short of a miracle. I had tried again and again. And we ended up having 2,500 students in that program. But I worked, as I said, for one whole year before I registered the first two students. And then the first class we had was also just 12 disciples. But I remember going to a pastor who was also a provincial education officer, and I said, do you really think that this program, I can run this program? He said, I can tell you, he said, that it's needed and you will have many students. And it's true. We ended up with about 2,500 students in that particular program. What I'm trying to say is, as you surrender your life to the Lord and you follow his path, you will face difficulties, yes, but you should never be discouraged. Keep your hand in his hand and he will see you through. Keep praying. Again, I had another experience of, I would call it church planting experience in a way. I went to Kisumu. When I was there doing these transformational or leadership training program, I also attended a small English-speaking church in the town when I could, and it was struggling, not going very far. It only had about 30, 40 members. They built up. They had about 50 or so, 70. And I got the vision, and the pastor wanted to find a place. They were just meeting in a school. So I worked very closely with this pastor to find a place where they could meet, have their own property, and have their own place. And so it was a very difficult work. I did this along with my other work. And God provided, opened a door, and we were able to buy a property in this urban church. But before we actually moved to this property, I was invited to speak in one of the meetings, one of the morning services. And as I said, we had about 70 people there. And I remember that morning as I preached, and we didn't always have people coming to the altar in that small church. But that morning, there were four people who responded. And when I went to the altar to pray with them, I tell you, there was fire, fire, fire. The people were weeping and weeping and repenting, and it was so powerful. And I just was so moved. I had never experienced anything quite like it. I had many altar calls. I've seen the altars lined with people coming to Jesus when I was doing evangelism, preaching. But this morning was something special. And I began to prophesy to the pastor. I said, you know, I said, you get ready. I said, God is beginning to save people in this church. And you're going to have many people. You better get ready for the numbers. You better get counselors trained What did they do? They said, okay, who's going to train them? They said, would you train them? So they came to Ningori where I was, and I took them through a whole series of training on how to do altar counseling and so on. And not so long afterward, we got this thing organized. We found the property. There was 600,000 shillings owed on the property taxes. I remember going with the pastor. I went with him everywhere to these different offices, and Silas and I went, and I said, look, they look at me. I'm a white person, and they think I have money, you know. I said, look, this is the church. And I said, we can't afford to pay this 600, and we can't even buy the property unless this 600 is paid. I said, can't you do something for us? We can pay something small. In Africa, you pay something small. So they agreed, we pay only 30,000. I said, fine, we can pay 30,000. We paid 30, and we got release. Then I had to go to the lawyers. So the documents were engaged with the lawyer, and the lawyer wouldn't release him until he was paid. So we had to pay him some money. And then we ended up, we bought the property with the PAOC, Dr. Birch, and Gerald Morrison, and so on. We worked with them. And money was made available, 2 million shillings, to buy that property. And then we got CTEM to come in and set it up. And we set up a tent there. And there were 700, the first Sunday, there were 700 people who came, about 700 who came to that meeting. And you can believe, I was sitting on the platform, and you can believe that many, many, many people came to the altar that morning. And I was looking at, some of the altar counselors were looking at me, smiling, you know, because they were all ready for these people. Because God, what I'm trying to point out to you is that when you surrender your life to Jesus and you follow his will and his plan, he will go with you, he will go before you, and look at the wonderful things he will give you, experiences. This is, he said he would hold me by the hand. He was not only holding me by the hand for this program, but he was also holding me by the hand whatever I was doing, hallelujah. I give him the glory. What a wonderful thing to walk with him and to know that you are becoming, you're being a part of fulfilling the mandate that he has given us in missions. God gives us the gifts of the Spirit. That was a gift of the Spirit. He gave that to me. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that many people, and they came. That church today, oh, can you imagine how excited I was the day that they said they got another piece of property in the city for $11 million. They purchased, the whole CTEM churches came together. They bought it themselves. And then they built a building for $120 million. All the CTEM assemblies got together and did that. You see, the little seed that we planted is PAOC. I want you to see your dollars invested in missions bring a tremendous. I believe in the corporate vision of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We can do more together. You see, if I did not have the backing of the PAOC, could we have bought that property? Today, there's a church there. They have about 2,000 people coming. That church seats 2,000, right in the heart of Kisumu. And every time I go in there, I'm just, my heart is pulsating with the view that this is a launching pad. This is a center. People are coming from different places to get fed here. People come from great distances even to come to that church. I tell you, what an opportunity. God works with us. God works with us when we put our lives on the line, when we give ourselves to him. Again, another story along the same line in Nakuru. About halfway, not quite halfway to upcountry. I came back to Nairobi later on to work, but in between there, there's a place called Nakuru, big city. And we had a house there, was given to us by somebody, and we didn't need it anymore. And I was in the office at this point in time in Nairobi, and I was business administrator at that time. And they said to me, you need to get, we need to have an evaluation, as the committee decided, evaluation of the property and sell it. I used to go to the prayer meeting. Again, we come back to prayer. I used to go to the prayer meetings at Valley Road Church early in the morning at 6 o'clock every day during the week. And as I was there in prayer, God spoke to me and said, about that property in Nakuru, you're not supposed to sell it. It should go for a church. I went back to the field director and I said to him, this was Gerald Morrison, I said, you know, I feel God spoke to me this morning in prayer. We should not sell that property. We should keep it for a church. He said, okay, I'll talk to Dennis White. Dennis said, I'm interested, but we can't do it now. So we said, okay, let's rent it. I put it for rent. And there was a guy called me one day. He said, I hear you're renting this property in Nakuru. I said, yes. He said, no. And I said, oh, yes. And he said, well, he said, we would like to rent it. And he said, it should be this much money. And that was twice as much as what we were going to ask for it. And we rented it to them for a number of years until that CTEM was ready to take over that property and develop a church. Today, there are thousands of people in a church in Nakuru, and we also have a center established there. You know, when I used to pass through this place in Nakuru, I would feel in my heart, I would feel, there's something about this place. We should have we need to do something in Nakuru. Not that nothing was being done there, but God was speaking. And that church, I feel so much a part of what God did in that place. So God is with us. He still is calling us to commitment. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church. He assured us that we would never walk alone. In our program of transformational church leadership, we have had about 60 or 70,000 people who have taken these courses. And we feel there's still so much more to be done. I would say to you, as supporters of the great mission of the PAOC around the world, and I can't give you all the detail today of what God has done. I can only tell you what God has done in Kenya, East Africa. We have a great church there. We have a radio program, we have a TV program, and it's reaching. You can tune in to Hope FM on your own radios or your own on the internet. I say don't grow weary in well doing. The gospel must still go forth in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for sharing in the great work that God has been doing in Africa. I think the great challenge that comes to us is in Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then can they call on one they have not believed? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are your feet of bringing good news, even into this community. God is calling us. We don't have to go overseas. The main thing is that we surrender our life to the Lord. We seek his direction. He has something for each and every one of us to do in this great work of missions. We're all missionaries to a certain degree. Of course, I have a passion for overseas missions, but I know that God is using individuals here, and you are part of what God has been doing over there because of your giving, because of your praying. So may the Lord bless you. I hope that you will be challenged today, that God can use you. Let me just close with this final testimony. When I started the Transformational Church program, the Lord spoke to me and said, I will hold you by the hand. When I did the certificate program, when I moved to Nairobi and Pan Africa Christian University and I started diploma program, I was apprehensive But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I will hold your hand more tightly. The other, just about a year or so ago, or two or so, when I was working on the BA in Transformation Leadership Online, I'm driving on the road in one of the streets in Nairobi, and I was impressed to sing that song. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And the Lord spoke to me again, I'm still holding you by the hand for this BA in Transformation Leadership Online. And let me tell you, when the Lord speaks to you like that, you know that it's not going to be an easy road. But he has seen us through, hallelujah. And lives have been totally transformed. Ministries have been transformed. I remember just a few days ago, I got a note from Mrs. Arati, the pastor of the Mombasa Pentecostal Church, and she's been helping out with the TCL program, and university was saying, can you not take over from Marilyn Bush and we'll pay you so much money? She wanted a lot of money. But then she said to me, I listened to the testimony of a pastor who told about how his ministry and his life was transformed. And she said, I said this, I will do this work for nothing. I say that's surrender, isn't it? So may the Lord bless you. Pastor, can you come? And we just appreciate what this church has been doing over the years for missions. I hope I haven't gone too long, but but I trust that what I have shared will encourage others to give themselves to missions, and that God has a work for each and every one of us to do. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Helen. We appreciate your legacy in missions and your inspiring words this morning. I want to ask some folks to come around. Let's gather around Helen. Let's lay our hands on her and pray for her, and just pray that God's blessing would continue to flow as she continues to do missions after 40-something years in Kenya, and you're still passionate and you're still going forward. That is an inspiration for so many of us that you know, that the things that we are experiencing, the obstacles, we can overcome them. We can remain passionate in our faith. We can remain active and moving forward in the things that the Lord has given us to do. So let's just gather around Helen, and you can, if you're not able to come and gather around, you can just lift your hand forward. We're going to pray for her. The Lord would bless her this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for Helen McMinn, Lord. And for the legacy, for the passion, for the motivation and inspiration that is all wrapped up in the work that she has done. We know, Lord, and she has told us, it is by your hand and it is through your ministry that she has been able to be equipped and to be as effective as she has been in Kenya, Lord. And we thank you for that, and we give you glory and honor for that this morning. And I pray this morning, as we have heard what the seeds that we have sown have accomplished, that would boost our faith, that we would not despise the day of small things, that we would not despise the day when we can contribute a little, because we know that our little combined with another little and another little and mixed in with the ministry of the Holy Spirit will reap a harvest. And so we pray for the ministry that is still taking place in Kenya. We pray for Helen and the ministry she is doing online from here in the Maritimes. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us faith that Evangel Assembly can be a place, a center where people will come and hearts will be drawn and they'll be transformed and they will encounter the ministry and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are the one God, the same God, here, there, and all over. And so we thank you, Lord God. I pray that you would bless Helen, and you would bless her traveling companion Fern and the travel that they have coming up and the ministry that they are going to be doing, Lord. I just pray that you would bless them. We thank you for this. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. And before you leave the front, Helen, our women's ministry here at Evangel Assembly has got together a little something that they asked me to give to you. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what is inside the bag, Helen. But I am sure it is something that will bless you, and we have a card as well. So once again, before we leave this morning, can you just show your appreciation to Helen for this morning and for her many, many years of faithful missionary service. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray and then we can leave. I know there are a few people that were asking for prayer this morning. And so we are going to, if some would like to stay, we're going to pray with Honey and for Verdalee and Gail who are not well. And if there's any others that just would like some prayer this morning, we can certainly attend to that. And of course, if you need to leave, it's just shortly after noontime. You're welcome to do so as well. But let me pray before we move forward this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege and the opportunity to gather here. And I just pray that the words we have heard will be carried with us, that your Spirit would not let us forget them. So be with those who are leaving, and Lord, I just pray that those who would like to remain for prayer, if you're comfortable doing that, and that your name would continue to be glorified here, and that we would continue to move forward as a body. So we thank you, and in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.